So you're asking a question about this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. First wave sadhana bhakti, chapter 2, or let's say first division, second wave, that's how it's set up. Eastern oceans, oceans have waves. There's four divisions, eastern, southern, northern, four divisions. So this is the first division, which means eastern division, Purva Vibhag. Purva means east. And Dvitiya Lahiri, Lahiri means wave, Dvitiya means two. Dvitiya Lahiri, and then the shloka number is 293. So we say 1.2.293. Vaira Bhakti Adhikari, two Bhava Vir Bhav Anavadi. Acha Shastram Tata Tarkam Anukulam Apekshate. This verse is describing how the path of Vaidhi leads to Bhav. But you have to continually follow the rules and regulations very strictly and the basic teachings of Vidhi and slowly progress to Bhav because there's no taste. So he's describing here the qualification for Raghunuga Bhakti is greed. And then he's saying the qualification for Vaidhi Bhakti is you don't have greed, but you want to follow the rules and regulations and steadily progress. So you continue to follow. If someone has greed and actually has an attraction and a taste for the bhavas and the loving sentiments of the residents in Vrindavan and starts following them, it also follows rules and regulations in terms of four principles and 64 principles of devotion, etc. But his motivation is his attachment, his taste, his interest in the love of the gopis and the love of the Brijvasis. So he will, his practices and his motivation doesn't depend on the rules of the Shastra. It doesn't depend on logic. Here is the Shastra Tarka. The Vaidhi Bhakti depends on the Shastra. I'm doing this because the Shastra says so. I'm duty bound. And it's Tarkam. This is the logic. Tarka means logic. It says if I don't do this, I'll go to hell. Or if I don't follow these principles, and if I don't read these shastras, if I don't do bhakti, my life will be wasted. Take rebirth, or I want salvation. So there's some motivation based on shastra vidhi, the rules and regulations, and promises of the shastra. But someone else is just attracted to Krishna. And so how does that attraction come? A natural attraction, or he's just interested. And how the greed arises. In this purport, there was a question by Pranavalva. In the purport, by Vishwanatha Chakravarti's commentary, he says that this is the general way that sadhana bhakti goes, that people practice Vaidhi sadhana slow, step by step, and they finally come to bhava bhakti through Vaidhi. But if one somehow has rag, then very quickly he can come to the platform of bhava bhakti. And he may not be following all the strict rules of the shastras. So that one sentence you have a question on, it says that if we see, however, aside from these Vaidhi bhaktas, if we see that someone, that greed has appeared, we understand that that person who has greed has studied the scriptures in order to attain that greed. It is also necessary to study scriptures in order to understand the proper sadhana for Raghunuga Bhakti. So what it means, what he's saying here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti, is that someone's practicing Vaidhi Bhakti and he's slowly going towards the goal of Bhav. He doesn't have any lobha, he doesn't really have any greed to love Krishna like the gopis or the coward boys or the house servants or Mother Yashoda. He doesn't have that. He doesn't have a taste for that. He hasn't become desirous of that. He's just going along. But somehow someone gives him Ananda Vrindavan Champu or Govinda Lilamrita or some very rustic books, and he reads about Radha and Krishna, or he reads about Vrindavan, the Brajabhavas, because now he's just practicing Vaidhi Bhakti and he's worshipping Radha and Krishna, but very much in a mood of Aishwarya Gyan and opulence and all these things and strict strict rules, and even though he wants to go to Radha and Krishna, but his basic practice is like Vaidhi Sadhana, which leads to Vaikuntha, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because unless you're following the Braja Janas and cultivating Rag Marg and Rag Bhakti, you can't go to the Ragatmika Bhaktas of Braj. So Vishnath Chakravarti is saying that somehow if someone studies these type of scriptures, that's what it means. Studies means he hears, he reads. Then that's when he said, if we see someone's practicing Vaidhi Bhakti and somehow greed arises, then we can understand that he ran into the Bermuda Triangle. He hit some of these wonderful, amazing books came his way. Then he got intense greed. I can testify as an example of that myself. I think many people can. I was initiated in Los Angeles in 1975 by Prabhupada, and then I was preaching and selling books. That was my basic seva from then until I came to India. And I took sannyas. So for 10 years I was, but right from the beginning I must say that I was always attracted to Radha and Krishna Vrindavan and the Krishna book. So I wasn't coming from totally zero. But I was following Vaidhi Bhakti, all the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti. Obviously everyone, whether you're Raghunuga Bhakta or Vaidhi Bhakta, Vaidhi Sadhana, everyone follows the four regular principles. Everyone gets up at 4 o'clock, and if they can, if they're not sleeping very late because of their work or life situation, everyone gets up early. Everyone bathes. Everyone chants whatever rounds they chant, 4, 8, 16, 64, whatever. Everyone does puja. Everyone reads shastra. Everyone associates with sadhus. So all these things are common, whether you're Raghunuga Bhakta or Vaidhi Bhakta. So that's one point. But just minor details of some of the meditation on Dwarka Mahishis or meditating on the self, Hungarpasana, different types of puja meditations that are there in Vaidhi Shastras, which we hardly even know about, we don't even practice anyway, are not followed in Raghunuga Bhakti. But I can't say that I was intensely craving and greedy to follow the footsteps of the Brijvasis when I joined. I just thought that Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan are very beautiful, and the whole pastimes, especially Vrindavan Leela with the gopis, I thought that was the perfection of loving exchanges. I guess having experienced something of a mundane love in the material world and my upbringing as I grew up, by the time I was 24, I thought there must be real love somewhere, and there must be divine men and divine women somewhere. And it must ultimately, that divine love must be with the Supreme Divinity, God. So loving God and this epitome of emotional ecstasy and attachment and possessiveness and surrender and selflessness that arises in a relationship of so-called love between man and woman in the material world, it ultimately is mixed with lots of negativity and mundanity in terms of a good dose of selfishness here and there. And ultimately it ends with death, even the most ideal love relationship in the material world. So then I came across Krishna book in 1974 and said, there is another world, Goloka Vrindavan, and that supreme man is Krishna, and that supreme lady is Radha. And everyone is serving them, and they're always loving together. And so that became very attractive to me, and I was very attracted and interested. But I wouldn't say I had lobha, greed, to specifically follow a resident of Vrindavan, which is the criterion for Raghunuga Bhakti. Then I moved to Vrindavan, because Rupa Goswami says Vrindavan Vas is very favorable for such things, for developing love of God, even in a general way. So when I moved here right away, in 1987, I started getting so many books of Raghunath Das Goswami and Rupa Goswami, Stavavali, Stavamala, and many, many books in English came my way. And I started reading them. And it was a fuse that ignited my, the bomb in my heart waiting to explode, I guess, which I didn't know about. So I read these shastras, I studied them, and I became enchanted and captivated. So then greed appeared within me, lobha. Lobha maya shraddha, an intense desire to follow Radha and Krishna, to serve them like the gopis. I knew I wanted to serve them. I didn't know all about gopis and mandris and kinkaris and all that. I didn't know about that in L.A. in 1975. I don't know if anybody ever heard of such a thing. Now it's quite common knowledge, so people are quite advanced, and at least knowledge department, being the technology, information technology is quite rampant and quite available. Even devotees know about everything already. By the time they're a new bhakta, they know everything. Babaji's and Ragmarg and Siddha Pranali, they know everything. Took me 12 years before I even found out about that stuff. And I found out in Vrindavan, other people are in Moscow, they find out online, they go online, they're in Siberia, they're in a Pesk or something like that, some funny city over in Siberia, Pesk, I don't know, some really cool place. I saw it once on the map, whatever it's called. And they're in there, the middle of, 15 degrees below zero, and they're on the internet reading about Raghunukha Bhakti, flowing stream of nectar. There's a very nice Facebook or website called Flowing Stream of Nectar by a disciple of Anantadas, Tarun Govinda. He puts all wonderful articles, really nice, basically just articles of Pandit Anantadas Baba. But like I glanced, I don't look very much, I'm hardly ever on net, but I saw it was called Flowing Stream of Nectar. If you go to Google and type in Flowing Stream, and then you'll end up there. It's a website or Facebook. It's a blog spot. And he just posts articles, and he had a whole series of articles. Who is Guru? What are the qualifications of Guru? What to look for? And all from so nicely presented, so clear and systematic, and all from the Shastras, Six Goswamis and Bhagavatam. Very nice things about Guru, and he has many, many articles. I guess I don't know how he's collecting. Maybe these are all different writings from different places of his Guru Maharaj. But very, very clear and systematic and organized presentation of the Gaudiya Siddhanta. I was quite impressed. So that's his service, apparently, is to give out the information. So anyone, what I'm saying is you can be in Russia now and not even initiated and learn all these things on the net. You may not know exactly what it all means, but you'll type in questions. What does this mean? And then it goes like this. I know some devotees I've heard from Russia, they never came to India before, they never were in ISKCON temple, they never met an ISKCON devotee. And they got on the net and they found out about Radhakund. And then they flew from Moscow to Delhi, came straight to Radhakund, they met their guru at Radhakund and got initiated. And they've been here for 10 years, 14 years, practicing Raghunukha Bhakti. So there's many kinds of jivas in the world, different levels of advancement. It's not all one. But the whole idea of this, how does this greed come from? So that is the subject in these verses. You can listen again, if you listen more clearly, maybe to that tape. IMNS Audio, I have this one folder called Raghunukha Bhakti, which is a whole description of all this I gave about 6 years ago. That's part of my classes. And I'm citing all references from everywhere. I see my notes here. In this chapter, chapter 1, 2, verses 294. 295 and 296, these three verses basically describe the practice of Raghunukha Bhakti. And then, if you go a little earlier, how greed develops. He said the basic qualification, this is in verse 291, the basic qualification to begin practicing Raghunukha Bhakti is intense thirst, desire, or taste. You can see a reference from taste meanings ruchi, not the level of ruchi as a stage of bhakti, but just a taste. Ruchi also means taste. Oh, this tastes good. the samosa or the rasgulla tastes good. So I like the taste of these subjects. I like the, it's very tasty for my ears. It's satisfying, pleasing to my ears to hear these discussions or read these topics. It soothes my heart, the sweetness, the beauty, the enchantment, the loving exchanges. So this is called the ruchi. And the reference for this is in Bhakti Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, verse number 312. Anuchet 312, he describes the qualification for Raghunatha Bhakti. He says, ruchi. So that means the taste. So Rupa Goswami says that, he says that Ragatmika Nishta Brajavasi Jan. So one wants to have the, he says, Bhav Labdo Bhavet Adikar, Adikaravan. Like Bhagavan? Van means one who possesses the eligibility, Adikar, of having greed for Bhava Labdo. Labdo means greed for the Bhav. His desires are greedy for the Bhav, the love and the feelings of the Ragatmika Brajajanas. He wants to have the feelings and the sevas and the, be part of the pastimes of Radharani and Lita Vishaka, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. In other words, it means you are greedy for Brajabhav, especially if it's Gopi Bhav, if you're in this mood. The moods and mellows of the residents of Vrindavan. You're greedy to attain a bhav similar to that of the people. So this is greed to attain Gopi Bhav. That's, you really want it. That's one sign that you're eligible to practice Raghunatha Bhakti. You don't know what it is, and you don't know who you're following, and you don't know what you want. Then he says, there's, what is the proof that one has greed? We just define what is greed for Raghunatha Bhakti. The Adhikar is greed. So what is the proof that one has it? So then he tells in verse 292, Tat tat bhavadi madhurye shute dir yad apekshate natra shastram nayuktim cha ta labut Labotpati Lakshanam. He's saying that we can understand that greed has appeared, lobha, utpati, that it has come. What is the Lakshanam? What is the characteristic? The appearance of that greed is indicated when the intelligence does not depend on rules of scripture and logic. And when does this come? When one realizes to some degree, it says some degree, it says apekshate. Apekshate means some. He just realizes, that's why Jiva Goswami says he has ruchi for these subjects, he has greed. He has some slight realization. Shruti dir yad apekshate. After realizing to some degree the sweetness of the Brijvasi's love, by hearing from the scriptures. So this is, if he's no longer cares so much about all these fine points of the Shastra, and he becomes captivated by the sweetness of the Brijvasis, Brajagopis, or etc., then he, in other words, he reads Radha Krishna's pastimes and Braj Leela, and then he says here, Madhurya Bhav Shute. Shute, he's hearing about the Madhurya Leelas. And then he will become greedy to taste and experience the sweet bhavas within the hearts of Krishna's Brijvasis. So what is the actual cause? This is the proof that one has it, so one question is, how do you develop greed? You hear from the Shastras, hearing from the scriptures. Which scriptures? That describe tat tad bhavadi madhurye shruti. Those scriptures that, beginning with bhav adi madhurya, that describe the madhurya bhava of the Vrishvasis, which means the gopis, ultimately. You can just say the sweet bhavas, or you can also say if you want to be a gopi or a manjri, follower of Radha Krishna, a servant of them, Sakhi, then it means Madhurya Bhav Shute, Shuti. To hear the Shastras that describe Madhurya Bhav, the Leelas, then, if you're fortunate, greed may arise. Vishnath, there's a little more elaborate explanation of this Tika. Verse 292 and 291, he explains, he talks about the qualification for not Raghunatha Bhakti. It's actually pretty rare. He says, Vishnath points out that Raghunuga Bhakti is meant for those persons who have intense longing and firm attachment to follow the feelings and sentiments in the particular relationship with Krishna, such as Radha and the Gopis and Madhurya Rati. So he says there's three prerequisites. Vishnu describes here in verse 291, there's three prerequisites to determine whether one has, to prove whether one has greed for Raghunuga Bhakti. And what are they? This is the proof that one has greed, lobha. First one is that the devotee feels intense longing and firm attachment for following and attaining the feelings and bhavas of the Nitya Siddha associates of Lord Krishna, like Radharani and the Brajagopis and Madhurya Rati, for example. That's one symptom or proof that someone has greed, he has intense. Two, he doesn't care he has no care or thought for the Aishvarya aspect of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. He's enchanted by thinking only about the sweet beauty and love of Sri Krishna. Prabhupada said that they didn't land on the moon, and the sun is farther than the moon, and all these things. Whatever. Or Krishna's the creator. Oh, time's up. Someone asked technical questions about creation or the shells of the universe and Lalatavarsh and all these different things in fifth canto, the description of the universe, and all the different Aishwarya descriptions. Someone might say, like Madhavendrapuri might say, Madhavendrapuri has one prayer in Padyavali. He says, Krishna, he may be this, he may be that. All I know is that I worship that small boy that's crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna may be God, the creator, the controller, the whatever he is, the Yogeshwar, the Jagadishwar, Jagatkarta, Parameshwar. All I know is I want to worship that cute little naughty boy crawling in a courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So this is a Madhurya. So the second proof that someone is eligible, he doesn't really care because he has taste and enchantment with the beauty and sweetness. And third proof that someone has, greed is his longing for the Madhurya Bhav, the longing for this Braja Bhav corresponds to your personal nature. It's actually your nature. You have, your nature is like that. It just, you feel, you, that's why he says Ruchi. You feel, this fits me. I like this. I can fit in with this. I want to be part of that. I want to be part of this group. And move with them. Move the way they move. Think the way they think. Act the way they think. And be amongst them. So there's certain intensity to that craving, that desiring. So of course it arises from Shastra. But I also mentioned, we're out of time, but we can just finish in a couple of minutes. So not only is it from hearing these Shastras, but we see, if you skip here a little bit to the back, at the end of the discussion of Raghunuga Bhakti by Rupa Goswami, it's actually the very end. He describes so many things about Raghunuga Bhakti, the Adhikar, the definition of Raghunuga Bhakti, the Adhikar, and many, many things. And then at the end, then he describes in verse, this is the conclusion of this chapter of Sadhana Bhakti. Then this is the very end of the chapter on Sadhana Bhakti. What's the next chapter? Bhava Bhakti. And then it describes about how to attain Bhava from Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana, etc. So to conclude the basic practices of Sadhana, which has two divisions, Vaidhi Sadhana and Raghunuga Sadhana, this is in verse 309. So from verse 290 or so, like 290 maybe, how much before that, I can't say. Oh no, it's before that even. Different kinds of regard, because Kamarupa Raghunuga Bhakti. Well, anyway, it's about 30 verses. At the very end, verse 309, it says, Krishna tad bhakta karanya Macha labhaika hetuka pushti marga taya kaishchin iyam raganu gochite rag anug gochite. The mercy of Krishna and his devotees is actually the only cause of attaining Raghunuga Bhakti. Some call this type of devotion pushti marg, which means nourishing, the path of nourishment. So there's a nice commentary that I wrote here from Mukunda Das Goswami's commentary. He says, in Raghunuga Bhakti, the supreme cause of awakening a craving for this path of Rag is the grace and compassion of Krishna. That's why the word is there, Karuna. Krishna tad bhakta karuna. Karuna Mayurata. It's the compassion of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna. Matra Labha Hetuka. That's the Hetu, that's the cause. The grace and compassion of Krishna and devotees alone. He says this much. He said it's all mercy. Like how many people are in ISKCON, for example, how many have greed for Raghunuga Bhakti? Actually, desire and intense attraction. Not many. Very few. So he says, in Raghunuga Bhakti, the supreme cause of awakening lobha is Krishna's mercy, Krishna and the devotee's mercy and compassion only. Only the mercy of Krishna and his devotees can awaken an intense longing in the heart to follow the footsteps of the Ragadmika Bhaktas, the Nityasiddha Parikars of Braj, like Radharani and Lalita Vishaka, Tulsi Manjri, Rati Manjri. There is absolutely no other cause for awakening Raghunuga Bhakti. Although, verse 238 said, Bhavas may awaken in an offenseless person upon seeing Krishna's murti or a painting of Krishna. Even then, a deep hankering or lobha or greed to follow the path of Raghunuga Bhakti is very rare, only attained by the grace of Krishna alone or his devotees. So this is, you may read Shastras about Madhurya Leela and the Astakali Leela, the sweet dealings of Radha and Krishna and the gopis, and somehow you can awaken a greed that's also there, or at least you cultivate greed by that method. But then he mentions this, that in that way. This is verse 309. I made a kind of an English summary of it. What it says, oh, very interesting here. It says, and actually in the Sanskrit, the comment I say is the only way, because that's what the Sanskrit says. Krishna's tad bhakta karunya matra loba eka hetuka. So, labaika is loba and eka, or aika. It means only. One, it means one. There's only one cause. There's only one cause of greed. That's why they're saying that, because that's what actually Rupa Goswami is saying. The actual cause, that's why it's called Pushti Marg. It means nourishment. You know, like the baby. There's only one cause for the baby's growing up and developing. What is it? The mother's breast. The mother's milk. There's no other cause. No, he had a nice house. He had a warm room. His room was warm, and he had a good house. He had nice clothes. And he had a nice air conditioner. No, the only cause of his health or his development of his physical body is his mother feeding him. So that means pushti. Pushti means nourishment. So he developed, the baby developed himself by the nourishment given to him by the mother, not by anything he did himself. He just was lying there. So similarly, it's called pushti, pushti marg. Marg means the path of nourishment. So the nourishment is coming from outside of us, from guru and devotees, Krishna directly or devotees. The Raghunuga Bhakti, of which the only cause is a longing for the attainment of compassion Sri Krishna and his eternal associates, is called pushti marg. The grace of Jiva Goswami says, the grace of the Lord is the most important thing to depend upon in Raghunuga Bhakti. Hence the word matra has been used. Matra means the only cause. Matra means the only cause. Mukunda Goswami observes that in Raghunuga Bhakti, the highest and supreme cause of awakening of the craving for this path is the grace and compassion of Sri Krishna and his devotees alone. It is through the grace of Krishna and his devotees that a deep, intense longing and following the Ragatmika Bhakti, those Braja Vasis, can be aroused in the heart of an individual. There is no other cause, even in the slightest degree. So this is, if one has that longing or has that greed, he can consider himself fortunate to blessings of devotees and Krishna. He's received the mercy of God. Jai Shri Radhe.